everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show. We discuss the Ethereum NFT bounce back and where it could go from here. We talk about some OG meme coin action. And lastly, we're joined by one of the co-founders of Karate Combat to talk about their upcoming event this weekend as we kick off our partnership with them. We also do a little bit of a deep dive into different Ethereum and Solana NFT collections. Hope you enjoy the show. It's a fun one. Oh, and we're live. Okay, got funny Clemente facial expressions here. Clemente, has anyone ever told you your taste in music is so interesting to me? Because it's literally like the greatest hits of the past four decades, as if we were at a bar in the Hamptons in the middle of July. Like, so do you listen to this music on your own? Like, what? I don't know.
I listened to it this morning when I was showering. It came on. I was like, oh, what a banger, dude. I'm playing this on the show.
Let me on stage, Clemente.
I got you.
You might say, I love your choice of music. It's always, it reminds you of the tunes that they bring on at weddings at like 2-3 a.m. in the morning when everyone's hammered and they're willing to listen to anything. And it revives you so you can go till 6 a.m. I love it.
Clemente could be a wedding DJ literally without preparing. It would just be the easiest job for him. You wouldn't even have to think about it. You'd be like, yeah, I got this. No problem. People would be like, hey, DJ was great. DJ was great. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to discuss the Ethereum. I don't know why I think this is so funny, by the way. Like, Clemente's taste of music is super funny to me. Today, we are going to discuss the Ethereum NFT bounce back and where things can go from here. We're going to talk about the OG meme coins like Doge and Floki. I don't really know if I would consider Floki an OG meme coin, but it's definitely older than Bohm. And lastly, we're going to be joined by, so I have to call him by his screen name. I can't call him by his real name, right?
Yeah. Only LARPing.
Okay. His name is Only LARPing, the co-founder of Karate Combat, to talk about the upcoming Karate Combat event this weekend as we kick off our partnership with them. If you all know anything about me, you know I'm a big martial arts fan, so I'm insanely excited about this partnership. Nick, you look just terribly confused. Hit me with it. Dude, let's go.
What is going on, Clemente? Do we have an issue right now with our Twitter, with me and you?
I just added you.
So I just get speaker now.
Okay,
that's all that I get. This is disrespectful, dude.
There you go.
Treatment of myself. Anyways, dude, like you, he couldn't have a fan account without me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way that would happen. Yet I show up, Nick's biggest fan.
Nick actually technically wasn't even supposed to be on the show today. But anyway, the show is brought to you in partnership with Karate Combat, the first pro sports league. The first pro sports league in the world governed and gamified by a token, the Karate token. If you've been a longtime Bodago's holder, you know we did a promotion with Karate Combat couple months back. Well, expect some more of those. This MMA league, this martial arts league, I'm going to call it, has over 5 million followers. It generates hundreds of millions of organic views each month. Go look up their Instagram, by the way, and has over 40,000 players for its own Web3 platform, Up Only Gaming. With the upcoming events at Token 2049 in Dubai and at Consensus, Karate Combat is on track to become the official sport of Web3. So look, I'm a huge fan of this promotion. I'm a big martial arts fan in general. I've basically been watching Karate Combat over the past like 9 months really grow and start to become a mainstream martial arts promotion. So I'm incredibly excited to be joined by Only LARPing today to talk all about it. So if you want to check out more about the Karate Combat organization and potentially get involved with Karate Token, download the Karate app. That's at karate.com/app to get 88 free Karate tokens and play up only gaming at Karate Combat's next event, which is kickback number 2 this weekend in Mexico. Sorry if I was distracted. I was watching my dog sit on the chair that she's not supposed to sit on, but she got off, so we're all good. Anyway, that's karate.com/app. Go there and check it out. Going to be really exciting to learn more about what's happening with Karate Combat later on in the show. Anyway, Sig, why don't we just dive right in and kick off the weather report? How does that sound?
Sounds perfect, guys. It's Thursday, March 21st. That ETH market volume is coming in at almost 39 million. Solana market volume at 10.7. On to leaders. We are back. ETH NFTs, they're not dead because they are rallying with the flightless birds leading the way. You've got the Pudgy Penguins. They're up 32% and back over 14 ETH. The little counterparts have surpassed the originals and back up to 1.2. D-Gods also up to 1.6. Over on Solana, the Saga Monkeys rip 75% to 3.7 SOL. You've got the Crypto Undead. Wow, they're back to 2.1 SOL. A Mutant Mom pulls back post-reveal 14% to 1.6 SOL. Over on Bitcoin, it's puppets, just puppets of all sizes. Doesn't matter the size. They had a good day. That's all that counts. The little pups, they pumped to 0.005 BTC, and the regular size puppets, they went up to 0.27 BTC, as the Nat Cats down to 0.05 BTC. Over the past 24 hours, well, let's look at the top four stories. Number one, crypto rally Thursday evening with Bitcoin, ETH, and SOL all seeing over 5% gains, recovering a majority of the losses from Monday and Tuesday. This comes despite a third consecutive day of BTC outflows totaling 260 million on the day. It also marked the end of an impressive streak as the IBIT ETF purchased less Bitcoin than was mined on the day for the first time since the ETF's inception. Secondly, over on ETH, NFT shows signs of life as almost all of the top 20 collections by volume are up over the last 24 hours. In addition to the Pudgies, major collections such as Apes, Mutants, Azuki, even Moonbirds and Doodles all posted 10 to 25% gains on the day. To top it all off, another alien CryptoPunk sold for over 16 million. Bear in mind, there's only 9 of those, and that was the second alien CryptoPunk sale in the last 16 days. Thirdly, our favorite friend Gary Gensler and the SEC went on a warpath against Ethereum as it was reported they were looking to classify it as a security, putting a huge damper on the odds of the May ETF approval. The Ethereum Foundation first alluded to this in February as they removed a canary from their website, indicating that they received an inquiry from a state authority. And lastly, it's base season. It's arrived with the name Xcopy. We had an open edition yesterday. Over 1 million NFTs yesterday were minted and daily transactions absolutely skyrocketed. Due to the increased activity on Base, Coinbase Wallet and Coinbase.com both experienced intermittent outages throughout the day. We are so back, people. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you in the studio.
Pio's response to the things about the SEC, you realize everyone that knows anything about it is like, it's not looking like there's good odds of the ETH ETF happening this year. Yet Pio seems to have some random faith associated in this thing happening as though like he has control over what it is. Whose content are you consuming at this point? Because you're just like, yo, definitively this ETH ETF is happening in May. That's like the position that you're at in your mind. And I don't know where that comes from, because everybody else who actually knows anything about it seems like it's less than likely.
We'll see. I have no idea. Which of these two fighters you want to bet on, Nick? Which one? We got Karate Combat on. Which one are you taking in a scrap? Which one? And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just listening, we have a picture of Gary Gensler and a picture of Larry Fink side by side. Nick, which horse you want to bet on? Which one do you think is going to hit it?
Man, I don't want to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. You want to bet Gary Gensler?
Gary Gensler. I'm not betting on Gary Gensler.
It's literally Fink versus Gensler. I have to take Fink. Obviously, I don't know if the ETH ETF gets approved. I really hope it does. Holy shit, do I hope it gets approved. But if I look at the two faces, if I look at Fink and I look at Gensler, I have to bet Fink.
Real quick, is that person brushing their teeth in San Francisco actually Kix?
Yeah, it is.
Wait, what? It looks just like him, and I was like, is that Kix?
Wait, let me see what happened.
There's a viral video of someone being like, is this what's going on in San Francisco? Kix is in the street brushing his teeth and just spitting on the sidewalk.
It's a viral video?
Yeah, borderline at this point, yeah.
Can we see it, Clinton? Something I really want to see. Our very own Kix, co-founder of this organization, brushing his teeth in public in San Francisco at the GDC conference. I miss this?
I couldn't find the actual.
What the fuck? What?
He's got small glasses on, too, or the pit viper.
Look at the spit! What?
What do you mean he's got? Oh yeah, he does.
He's literally got. Where did this video come from? Who took the video?
I saw Vo post it, and she was like, "San Francisco is as bad as they say it is."
She's pretty funny. That's pretty hilarious.
That's where I saw it first, I think.
Can I see her post real quick?
Wait, say, I don't see it. I'm on her page and I don't see it.
She might have deleted it.
Oh, that's what the fuck? Why are you deleting it? That sounds like a great post. That's so funny. How did he end up in the street with the toothbrush? Where's the toothpaste? What's the game plan for the toothbrush after you finish? Is he just going to throw it away? Like, where'd the toothpaste come from? Is he carrying the toothpaste around?
What is going on? He's looking like what? What is taking place? And who carries a toothbrush around like that? He doesn't even have a backpack on.
So you,
he just has it in his pocket. Does he also have, like, you know? I've found have you ever gotten those chewable the airplane sometimes right, when they give you the
tablets?
The tablets, yeah. Those suck. I mean, those are the worst. But how did he get that much water in his mouth? Like, what is going on?
What is going on? And then also, how long was he doing it? Because for someone to take their phone out and capture it in 4K like that, he must have been just casually walking down the street brushing his teeth.
And it looks like it's rush hour because look how many people are walking by him.
This is my favorite video maybe ever. I won't even walk away from the sink when I'm brushing my teeth for risk of like toothpaste spilling on the ground and stuff. He's just walking down the streets of San Francisco brushing his teeth. I mean, I'm glad he's brushing his teeth.
Fit in with all of the, I will say where GDC is, the location for it is right around the corner from the Tenderloin. So like you could definitively, he could fit in. Like he could literally walk two blocks away. And he'd be completely in the right place.
The 35-degree bend over and just like heave the toothpaste out like he's done this a million times before. He looks so comfortable. He literally looks like this is normal behavior for him. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to brush my teeth in the street, bend over, spit it on the ground in front of like 50 people. Sig, what do you make of this as a lady?
Honestly, because I was thinking, has he been out the whole night playing out the whole night? I mean, playing games the whole night. But no, this looks like he woke up, had breakfast, went on the street and brushed his teeth. And I love how much he has in his mouth. That's just a full, that's like a good, like, been around the block, up, down, and then he spat. Kudos to whoever made that video. I love it. They must have been like, is that Kix? Kix brushing his teeth? Time to take out the camera. No, we have so many questions for him. When's he back on the show? I have so many questions about this moment.
Probably next week.
We're going to ask about it. Yeah, I'm not seeing the... I don't know why Vo would delete that that tweet because that's super duper funny. But anyway, look, didn't expect that. That's hilarious. Some updates from the newsletter here. This is the Daily Bones newsletter. Go to dailybones.com. Polygon and Immutable have launched a $100 million blockchain gaming investment fund. With the help of VC firm King River Capital, investing in 7 projects, including Pixelmon, Guild of Guardians, and My Pet Hooligan. I know Pixelmon and My Pet Hooligan. First, I'm hearing of Guild of Guardians. Very interesting stuff. OpenSea has released Seaport 1.6, which features Seaport hooks, allowing developers to create innovative behavior, such as NFTs that evolve traits based on the price at which they were purchased. Nick, you're going to sink your teeth into this update?
Yeah, totally.
All righty. There you go. Quantum Cat artist OXFAR is revealed to be the artist behind the iconic runestone parent inscription, which was burned to Satoshi's address. So the Bitcoin Ordos folks definitely getting really excited about this one. Next story, Portal Coin staking options, which allows users to stake Portal, is going to level up and gain exclusive access to new games and pre-sales. Robinhood, the company I used to work at, extends their mobile crypto wallet to Android as it launches on the Google Play Store just over a year after launching on iOS. And last but not least, Killa Cub number 8, Easy would like this one, becomes the first ETH native NFT to bridge to Solana as the collections bridge officially goes to Sol, went live overnight. Because Campy Pandas didn't bridge. They just did a separate collection. So this is actually the first... Okay, very interesting. So those are your stories from the Daily Digest, from the newsletter. First topic of conversation today, the rebound in Ethereum NFTs. In the last 24 hours, Pudgy Penguins are up 32%, back over $50,000. Who would have seen Pudgy Penguins go back over $50,000 in such a short period of time? I feel like everybody that was holding Pudgy Penguins from when they were $50,000 to when they dipped to maybe $35,000 probably should have sold at $50,000 the first time and then missed out on this run back to $50,000. Next story, D-Gods up 12%. Sappy Seals up 16%. Clemente's got to be happy about that. And Other Deed up 20% despite people having worries about the Bored Ape Yacht Club and Yuga Labs ecosystem. When you take out the CryptoPunk sale, however, that big 16 milli CryptoPunk sale, Ethereum NFT volume is down in the low 20 millions, which is down 50% week over week. That's pretty interesting. Clemente, what do you make of this? What's going on?
The real quick rundown here is pretty much Blur volume no longer matters, basically. Like I've been looking into ETH NFTs pretty closely for the last couple of weeks, and I've come to the conclusion that literally like probably 80% of Blur volume is just Blur farmers playing hot potato with each other. But when you bring in real buyers, which is what we finally saw yesterday, we saw like a pretty interesting rally for the first time in over 3 weeks. Pudgy Penguins got below 10. They got as low as 9.5 ETH. So if you bought it down,
I said I'd buy it 10 and I didn't. Oh, there we go.
I can't believe they're already at 15 again.
That would have been a nice quick flip right there, dude. 50% gain. Come on now.
It's like 10 grand or no more.
More than
15.
That.
15 G's.
More than 15 grand.
To be precise.
Go on, Clemente.
No, the only thing I was going to say is like, it's so wild to see how fast the sentiment just changed. Everyone was saying, including me, I was like, dude, we're toast. Like, this is not going to be looking good, at least for another month. But all of a sudden, people are like, oh, I'm just going to start buying ETH NFTs again. Like, this just makes sense to me. Solana meme coin's over. Let's just rotate into these ETH NFTs. But Signal, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this was so obvious. This didn't, because we're in a bull market, these pullbacks are quite... I sort of call them fake pullbacks. They're going to come back. None of the fundamentals of any of those projects have changed. And to see like little pudgies, that what were they like 0.79?
Insane.
Like, am I the one taking crazy pills here? This is going to go back over one. And I feel like the pullbacks we're going to get, especially on basically the big pudgies and the little pudgies, you're going to see them go up to 20, come back down to 9, and then those lows are going to get lower and lower and lower. Like, there are just too many catalyst events on that list of top 20 for those prices to hold for like 4 to 6 weeks. The ETH side of NFTs might see more quietness compared to, say, Ordinal Solana, but that means there'll be an opportunity to flip and make whatever, 10, 15 grand, one ETH, 0.5 and stuff. I just think like anyone who knows the ETH NFT marketplace, like Clemente, like, Take these swings because these are easy flips to do.
Clemente knows it. He definitely knows it. Alfalfa over here saying Clemente's still living in dreamland, thinking only real buyers bought yesterday. What do you make of that comment, Clemente, since you know NFTs?
I mean, I don't know how many real buyers there were yesterday, but it shows that when real buyers come in, it doesn't matter how many farmers there are. It doesn't matter how much bullshit there is going on. There will go through and we'll see a real pump here. The only other thing that I was interested in was the experiment between Magic Eden's royalty enforcing collections versus the Blur collections. D-Gods saw a 15% pump yesterday. Utes didn't move at all. So that's the only other thing I noticed, which went against my thesis, which I thought Utes would actually outperform D-Gods because they weren't getting dumped. But I was wrong, at least so far.
Well, there you go. So next topic here, Gary Gensler versus Ethereum. Nick wants to talk about this for sure. It's been reported that Gary Gensler and the SEC are on a campaign to classify Ethereum as a security. The SEC's decision on the Ethereum ETF approval is less than 2 months away, set to take place in May. ETH got as low as $3,050 during the Tuesday sell-off. Now, 48 hours later, up to $3,600 almost.
Wow.
This is the best. I love our market, our industry, our space. It's just so funny. People just panic constantly, including on the crypto side, the NFT side, all that stuff. So, Nick, you asked me, and to answer your question from earlier, seriously, there is some speculation from some corners of the crypto expert market, right, that this investigation into Ethereum is actually just going to have them come out and say, we've thoroughly invested, you know, the SEC is going to come out and say, we've thoroughly investigated it. We've really, you know, turned over every stone, every rock, and it's not a security. And Larry Fink's just going to have another ETF ready to rock and roll. I got to think that the Finkster is going to win, man. I just really do feel like I'm betting on Larry Fink over Gary Gensler. That's my position. And I think that if the Ethereum ETF gets approved, that's such a good thing. Holy shit. It's such a good thing. It's a good thing for Solana. It's a good thing for Dogecoin. It's a good thing for NFTs. It's a good thing for everything. It's awesome. It's just a massive, massive crypto event. Not as big as the Bitcoin ETF, but really, really big. Honestly, almost as big as the Bitcoin ETF. So that's the long and short of my beliefs around the Ethereum ETF. I'm really hoping the Ethereum ETF gets approved. I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't. My bet is that it does get approved. Nick?
I mean, I think it eventually will. I don't know that it'll happen then. I've been looking at James Safer, who's his other Bloomberg?
Eric B.
Yeah, that guy. And then I also saw Rom tweeting about it as well. Everyone seemed to be relatively bearish on this happening imminently. So that's the main thing. What was the the $100 million that BlackRock put into USDC, what was that about?
So I believe I'm not an expert on this, and obviously we've been insanely busy, so I haven't been reading as much as I should, but the speculation is that is something that's an action that they are taking in preparation of the ETF being approved in May, the Ethereum ETF. And they did that 24 hours after the SEC announced their investigation. And people are like, what a coincidence. So, yeah. Anyway, so we can move on from this. We'll have to see what happens.
Just chilling, waiting.
Well, the funniest part about it was as soon as that address got doxed, people started sending meme coins and NFTs to it. So BlackRock now holds MOG.
Like $5,000 worth, actually.
That is funny. That's almost like graffiti. Like, that's pretty funny stuff. Sig, any thoughts on this before we move on?
Well, I actually think it doesn't matter if it doesn't get approved in May, to be honest. I really don't think so. Like, the Bitcoin ETF's already been done. All of this technology is a one-way street. It's like the personal computer coming out and them approving one version of the person and then saying no other personal computers come out. We can only have Apple at the time. Microsoft, whichever had the first move, right? And just saying, like, this technology doesn't exist. You know, it's just not going to happen. And because you have TradFi now, like Larry and his buddies all going into this, they are going to lobby. They're going to lobby and they're going to put pressure. And in the end, the SEC will have to cave. So even if it doesn't happen in May, it will happen in the medium term, in the next 12 to 18 months. So for me, it's like it just means nothing if it doesn't happen in May. This stuff is going to pass eventually.
I like the way you're framing that, because it ultimately doesn't really matter, but it is better if it gets approved. So we'll see what happens. It would be better to approve it in the near term. Moving on to Solana NFTs. Solana NFTs have been rebounding quite a bit. Seems like a little bit of liquidity has rotated from the absolute dumpster fire gambling escapade of meme coin season that occurred over the past, call it 10 to 15 calendar days. So in the last 24 hours, Crypto Undeads, Nick's favorite project, up 33%. Tensorians and Mad Lads up 10%. The strength of Mad Lads is impressive AF. What is Mad Lads for right now, Clemente?
It's 156.
Okay, that's a pullback.
Down. We should have shorted that on Tensor.
What a mistake.
You should have sold, Nick. Should have sold.
You didn't sell, did you?
No, because they're going to go significantly higher with Solana.
What are we at? So 156 times the price of Solana being 190 is $30,000.
30K.
And you bought it for how much?
Yeah, can we get the chart in USDC?
Sega, we bought it for 80 Solana with Solana at like $40. It was a good one.
That's a real cook. You guys have so much like margin on this trade. I'm actually surprised to see them pull back, because they've been like steady at like 190 for a really long time, like to the point where I didn't even short them, to even think to short them on the Tensor trade, because I'm like, it's so steady.
On the chart, move your hand over where it says Sol. Go up, left, right there. Go to USD.
It was in USD before.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the high USD?
34,500.
Okay. So we're down 4K. But I think we're in a good place right now. This is looking pretty solid. What did you say, PO, the USD price was that we got in at?
It's not a lot. I think we bought in at 80 to 85 Solana, with Solana literally at like $40. It might have been less. It might have, or like $45, because it was right after breakpoint, I want to say.
Well, there's the 10X. That's what we were aiming for, basically, or I was aiming for. Yeah,
you have a target. My target is just when I feel like the NFT market is fully torqued, fully back, like over a year from now, and this thing's worth over $100,000, that's when we can start talking about it. I see some people in the comments being like, we all should have sold. If you're playing that should have sold game, then you're gambling, and you're not going to end up like with the real crazy held it for over a year gains that you can get in this market. You know, unless you're doing meme coin trading with like Boehm, where literally it outperformed Bored Apes in 48 hours.
I think will it be when those are $100,000. That's going to be exciting. And then just be like, yeah, your boy keeps pulling off Bored Ape trades every single cycle.
I had a moment of reflection. I had a moment of reflection the other day where I was like, holy shit. Like, I was just kind of looking at the Solana bag, the Pudgy Penguin bag, the Mad Lad bag, and then I guess you can say like the Bitcoin bag too, where I was like, man, like at the bottom of the bear market, I was like, am I going to really have multi-$100,000 gains again? And then now I'm just like, holy shit, like we just kind of have that. And like, I'm plowing more money into AVAX and shit now, and more Bitcoin, of course. What a wild market that we're in. If you just believe in something, plow a bunch of money into it and hold it for a long time, it really can go crazy. Next story or next project, DGen Ape Academy up 50%. Clemente, you want me to throw to you on this? What's going on?
I mean, just the overall Solana NFT market is interesting. I've been wanting to get my feet wet. My problem with Solana NFTs, I don't own pretty much any right now, because if I want to buy Solana NFTs, I need to lock in capital gains on my Solana, which just kind of sucks. Like, I don't really want to take short-term capital gains, but it does feel like when you look at like quality projects on Solana, there are less than on Ethereum. So it feels like there's the Tensorians, there's the Klainosaurs, there's the Mad Lads, and then there's like four or five, maybe more, that you can take bets on. That pretty much, if the NFT market rebounds on Solana, which obviously we all expect it to, you can take a bet on one of these, and it should go up over time along with Solana's price. That's what I'm taking a bet on. But it does feel like, once again, a little bit. I don't know, but I'm very interested in Solana NFTs. I'm trying to figure out what to take bets on. I thought Mutant Mon was interesting, but that revealed yesterday and they just turned out to be some pixelated Pokemon, which I'm not too interested about. These pulled back to 1.6, but this is the hybrid DeFi trend that everyone's talking about, where you can turn this into also a liquid token, depending on how many you buy. But I'm not too big of a fan on the art.
Interesting. Another moment of reflection that I had about the NFT market in general, it's astounding. The strength of the NFT market is actually astounding. The fact that we've been running this show, you know, we have partners, you know, valuable partners, organizations like Karate Combat and others. The fact that NFT volume, you know, a Pudgy Penguin costs 14 Ethereum, a CryptoPunk just sold for $16 million, a Bodago costs, you know, 5 Solana, whatever. It's astounding. When nobody understands NFT stuff in the world, including people that work in the industry, forget about participate in the industry, work in the industry, over 50%, and that might be conservative as hell, it might be over 80% of the most hardcore crypto people, right? Which is the broader asset class that we're talking about here, don't understand NFTs. And I'd go further, they don't like them. They literally hate them. They shit on NFTs. Our market has been so small, so few people. And yet, $60 million sale the other day. 14 Ethereum Pudgy Penguins. Partners reaching out to us. What an insanely strong asset class that's been beaten down. There was every reason for NFTs to truly be dead. It just is pretty wild how strong a niche asset class like this one is that nobody understands and people in the industry hate still has strength. Wild. Absolutely wild. Next thing to discuss
just here. Crazy. I mean, I've just been sitting there shocked. Just absolutely shocked sitting. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? NFTs still here. Who would have thought?
I saw a tweet, Pio, about that Udi put out yesterday about ordinals and about like the digital flex kind of in the digital luxury world that's going to, that he thinks is going to develop in the last or in the next few years. It's literally, he's like, it's inevitable.
Yep.
And that we have all these Bitcoin whales, for example, that are rich and don't have anything to do with their Bitcoin. They're like, eventually that has to flow into something. Mm-hmm. And this digital luxury world is like, it's such a no-brainer when you really think about it. So yeah. It might not be random bullshit project pumps because of this, but like these top assets, it's like there's only 10,000 of them. There's only 4,000 or whatever it is. So,
and when it's clear that you can buy an outfit for only like $40,000, you have so much money left over. Yeah, after you buy like a couple of outfits, you've only spent a couple hundred grand to get a few outfits to fill out your wardrobe. And you don't even fill out your wardrobe for that amount. But let's say like a wardrobe nowadays costs what, $1 million? Basically, what you're ending up with is a lot of money that you're now trying to figure out, what do I do with the remainder of all of my money? And that's a real struggle for someone that owns a lot of Bitcoin. They say, what do I do? What can I spend it on? What can I buy? Like, I have 16 houses. I have six pied-à-terres. What am I going to do at this point in time? I got to go buy a Bodagos. That's what they're thinking, but they can't get it on Bitcoin. So they go buy some stupid project, you know? And so that's what they're struggling with right now. And they're saying, they're calling me and they're saying, Nick, let me choose rich for the love of God on Bitcoin. That's what they're calling me and telling me, because I don't have any options of places to put my money. It's a real struggle for those Bitcoin billionaires, you know?
You know, sorry, I was going to say, Clemente, on what Udi was saying, like, Udi's super smart, but I really disagree with him on this point. This was exactly the same narrative that we had in Ethereum, that these magical Ethereum whales with deep pockets would just come into the space and start buying up all these PFPs. I agree with it on the art side, that art, like real fine art will eventually be recognized as a store of value on blockchain, across Ethereum, like on the Ethereum, on Bitcoin. But the whole like PFP identity and like people need, like, it's one thing to like, you know, believe in Bitcoin. I think it's another thing to think that there'll be value in having this digital flex over the next 10, 20, 30 years. I just think as the chain develops and there's more and more development, there will be more interesting things to allocate that money to. So this narrative, I find it to be quite weak, and it kind of fizzled over on the Ethereum side last time, even though people, you know, sometimes talk very sad about, you know, selling their favorite PFP. In the end, you kind of get over it. You're like, I don't really care. I'm just here to make money. So I think, I don't think that narrative is going to stay.
So I actually think that Udi is right. I just think it's going to take such a long time because nobody understands this stuff. 99.9% of people don't understand Bitcoin, including people that work in finance. So you want to talk to people about JPEGs on like one Satoshi or a JPEG on the Ethereum blockchain that they also don't understand? Nobody understands this stuff, including people in the industry. It's going to take so long, like literally so long. Go look at newspaper articles from when the internet first came out. Go look at newspaper articles from when credit cards were first like accepted at McDonald's. Like, this stuff takes so long. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. It does not mean that your individual random ass NFT investment is going to pump tomorrow. Look, so on Ethereum, Clemente wants me to point out Pudgies, Canpai, Pixelmon, Captain, Suzuki, Seals. Pixelmon, you put it in there twice. Mochaverse, Creeps, Killabears, Parallel Avatars. Captains is my response. Captains. Well, and Pudgy Penguins, but I already have
a massive. What was that? What just went down there?
Well, I had a list of, I wouldn't even read that. I'm getting called out now by Solana NFT people. I was trying to say that there are better NFT builders or more on ETH than Solana as of right now in terms of quality NFT projects. But they're like, no, there's way more builders.
Does that mean that all the money is going to Solana NFT projects that have builders?
I think that there's a smaller supply of projects that are going
to be. So Bodagos are the buy?
But I don't want to sell.
On Solana, for sure. Bodagos, so yeah. Tensorians.
Yeah. Bodagos. You put some other project twice, but you can't put in Bodagos twice?
Put in there three times, Clemente.
What the hell? Mad Lads, Bodagos. Klano, Bodagos. Tensorians, Bodagos. SMB, Bodagos, and then Bodagos. Those are your options when you're buying on Solana.
Those are the options. Real quick, let's talk about Captains on Ethereum. Very interesting collection.
I tweeted about this yesterday at 3.8 ETH. I'm like, this is the biggest no-brainer of all time. Dude, if I had just ETH sitting around right now, I'd just be plowing it into Captains right now. I literally think they go to 10 ETH. You hold it and you sell it at the end of 2025. With all your meme coin, it's just
they've already gone to 10 ETH before. So you're just saying, do I believe that the all-time high for this asset ever has happened and it's never going to happen again? And my answer is no. I think they make a new all-time high. And the best part is
careful with that Moonbirds.
Yeah, but Moonbirds was a dumpster fire, and I don't think Captains is a dumpster fire. No,
Captains is not a It's definitely not a dumpster fire. But I just think like that test, can something test the all-time high again with that kind of theory on across all like the top projects? I think Captains can do it. I think Captains can do it, but not all of them can.
No, not all of them. No, absolutely. Literally, absolutely not. Not all of them. 99.9% cannot. I just think Captains is one of those quality ones. And out of all the stuff that I look at, this feels like one that actually would be interesting. The thing is like, buying an NFT of any sort is so much, it's the orders of magnitude of risk beyond just holding the tokens is crazy. Think about it. You basically have a clear path to like a 4X right now if you just plow money into Bitcoin. Then if it's like, okay, you want to take a little bit more risk, plow money into Ethereum ahead of the ETF approval. How about that? Oh, you want to take a little bit more risk? Plow money into Solana because everyone thinks it's going to go to $1 trillion market cap, $500 to $1,000. Oh, you want to take more risk? Plow money into AVAX because AVAX is volatile as hell. Its swings are insane. And it feels like $100 is a foregone conclusion. It's the gaming blockchain. Oh, you want to be taking on more risk? Plow it into Whiff and Bonk, right? But then beyond all of those, you get to NFTs and it's just so damn risky, so damn illiquid. The swings are crazy. It's the first asset class of crypto that loses liquidity and the last to gain it. There's a lot going on there. Nick, what do you make of Captains versus Pudgy Penguins versus Canpai Pandas? Which one would you buy from at these prices, by the way?
Sorry, Captains versus Pudgy versus
Canpai Pandas. Which one at these prices, Nick?
Man, well, I missed my Pudgy entry. So that was because I was busy spreading the word of the Choose Rich gospel, basically. So, which is frustrating. What do you say? What do you
buy a Captains? Literally, the fact that the ratio between a Captains and a Pudgy Penguin is 3.5x. is absolutely absurd to me. There's 7 ETH worth of meme coin in it right now. What are we even taught? Like, this is
insane. How much ETH of meme coin?
7 ETH of meme coin at current prices.
And how much is the floor?
It's 3.9.
Whoa. I have to think the gap between Pudgies and Captains narrows. I have to think so. I kind of don't know anything about NFTs if that doesn't happen.
So are you buying one?
I need to figure out how to comfortably have 4 Ethereum that I can put into it. I think it involves selling at least 1 to 2 NFTs that I own, but because I'm not trying to convert fungible tokens into NFTs right this second. I'm actually trying to build bigger fungible token positions.
Well, this is a tough one. Yeah, I'm going to go. Well, I'll answer the question, Clemente. We'll go captains.
Okay. Sig, 3 projects. Pudgy, Campi, captains.
I would do Pudgy's right now.
I like it. I like it. Not going to get any complaints from me out of that.
Only because there's more speculation in Pudgy's than there are in captains. That's the only reason why I would do it.
Fair. Fair. We haven't seen if more speculation is going to come from captains, especially from the Binance Mafia, as Beanie has coined it. So we will have to see. Hey, look, we have an interview now with one of our newest partners, a partner that is near and dear to me. Very, very exciting for me to announce this partner. This partner, of course, is Karate Combat. We have the one and only, I can't call him by his real name, Only LARPing.
What is going on here?
You're muted.
What's up, guys? I'm actually brushing my teeth.
Like Kixis?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining, amigo. Look, we're incredibly excited about the Karate Combat partnership that we have here. To give people some context, Karate Combat is a martial arts league. You guys have been in business for years at this point, but it feels like you're getting some serious, serious traction and real mainstream attention right now. You've had some of the biggest stars from the UFC, the biggest mixed martial arts promotion in the world, attending your events, really co-signing the organization. And it feels like you're getting real traction in the crypto world with events like the influencer fights you've been putting on. Obviously, the BitBoy crypto fight was a viral sensation on crypto Twitter. I think it was basically like universally appreciated. I don't think anyone was like, nah, that fight was whack. Like, that fight was dope. Then also simultaneously getting real traction in the traditional MMA world, getting the who's who of that world to not only attend events, but like to work your events, like whether it's commentary, you know, ringside announcing, hosting the broadcast, all this stuff. What's this ride been like, man? And does it feel like you're an overnight success after working at it for, you know, a half decade?
Yeah, that's the typical story, right? Yeah, the league's been around since 2018, the beginning of 2018. We've had 45 events today. We've got 100 fighters. But yeah, we hit an inflection point on the sports side of things at the same time as we have the Web3 platform we built taking off. So it feels pretty damn good.
Incredible. I mean, look, the promotion itself is pretty self-explanatory. If you're a sports fan, if you're a martial arts fan, if I could, and correct me if I'm wrong, just kind of break it down like this. It's mixed martial arts like the UFC, right? But you don't do grappling. So the kind of boring part, the ground game where people are rolling around on the ground, that's not involved, but the fight can go to the ground. And you all have a proprietary ring, which is very cool. It's called the Pit, and it has very cool slanted walls that can be utilized in the fight. So guys will jump off the walls. They'll pin somebody down on the walls. You saw BitBoy fighting against the wall a little bit. So it's basically designed to be like real life Mortal Kombat and the most exciting expression of martial arts in the world today. Is that fair to say?
That's the goal. We designed the rule set from the ground up to be as entertaining as humanly possible. Basically UFC without the wrestling at the end of the day. Casual fight fans, if they don't understand jiu-jitsu and grappling, that's their biggest complaint. So we strip it out.
Okay, so that's easy to understand. And anybody that's a sports fan or anyone that's ever seen any martial arts bout of any sort can understand it. Can we talk about the app and the token? And then I do want to talk about President Awesome, you know, your new hire and the great work he's been doing. Man. And what to expect. But yeah, the app and the token, I'd love to kind of understand that because that's the sort of crypto part. And knowing the mechanics, I genuinely think our audience would be pretty jazzed up about it.
Yes, would love to. So the league is the first in the world that's governed and gamified by a token. We're doing everything we can to make it the official sport of crypto, of Web3. The league's been around for about, you know, 7 years or so. And I myself have been in crypto going back to 2014. I'm one of the co-founders, but we never did anything in crypto until we came up with this idea about 2.5 years ago to build no loss gambling on every single fight using new DeFi tooling. The core idea that we came up with, that we fell in love with, is for 48 hours before each event, you can vote on which fighters you think are going to win. When you vote on winning fighters, you earn a piece of a fixed karate prize pool on every event. So it's a little bit like a DeFi farm on every single event. Get some of your picks right, you get a piece of that prize pool. The more people that play, the lower the rewards go over time. The average player at the last event won about 5% more tokens. You're not doubling your money. But most importantly, if you pick wrong, you don't lose anything. So this is actually not regulated gambling, which is huge because we're having events all over the world. We're not going to get gambling licenses all over the world. We want this to be really easy and fun. So that's the core mechanic. That's why we did it. We already had this very large awareness. We got 5-6 million followers. We get tons of views every month. Converting that awareness to super fandom is still tricky in sports, right? You need generations to compete with these leagues that have been around 100 years. We think with our demo of mostly young males, there might be a shortcut there by financializing things. Because if you ask them, almost half of them will say, I don't like watching sports unless I have a bet on it. So if we could get them all a little financial upside, get them researching the fighters ahead of time, get them with a vested stake in the outcome, we think we can, you know, fast track the path to super fandom.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating. And just to dig into that component a little bit more. So let's say I download the app right now. I go to the app store, I download the app, and I get my initial little bit of karate token. You guys have an event this weekend. Let's say I'm watching the event, so I can bet on a fighter. Let's say I'm watching BitBoy fight. I know he's not fighting this weekend, but I'm watching BitBoy fight, and I want to bet 2 karate token on BitBoy.
Yeah.
How is it no loss gambling? And how, like, so if BitBoy wins the fight, how does that play out? Just to kind simplify it a little bit.
For sure. So the entire game runs on Snapshot in the background. So you actually have to have the tokens in your app or a compatible wallet 48 hours before the event starts. So if you want to play this weekend, you got to download the app in the next, 8 hours or so. Then you have 48 hours to make your picks. The app is really easy to use. Download it today. You automatically get 88 free tokens dropped into your embedded non-custodial wallet. You'll get a notification tonight that it's time to play. And then the UX, I would say, is a cross between like a Mortal Kombat selection screen and a gambling app. There's this fixed prize pool there. If you pick correctly, you get a part of the fixed prize pool. So the more karate that plays, the more the fixed prize pool is divided over. But you're just voting. You're not staking. You're not sending. You're not locking up your tokens. So there's no way you can lose them. You're just casting a vote and then you claim your winnings. If you get correctly, the payouts, the implied odds, it's all set pari-mutuel. Like if you've ever been to the horse track, the dog track, the more people that pick your fighter, the more that you're sharing the potential rewards with.
Really cool stuff. I mean, look, that's very applicable to crypto. Can you cash out the karate token?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. The token's traded on 7 different exchanges, biggest volumes on KuCoin and Uniswap usually.
Nice. So I guess at this point, from a league perspective, you guys have 1.5 million, 1.5 million Instagram followers. That's a lot of growth. Bas Rutten is involved with the league.
He's the chairman.
Okay. He's a martial arts legend. He literally went on the Joe Rogan podcast and talked all about this.
Yeah.
And now you've got President Awesome, who is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He owns a notable jiu-jitsu gym in Miami. He corners, big time fighters. But what I'm most impressed with him is the way he presents himself. He's got a humongous personality.
Yeah.
And when he goes on these podcasts, he really kind of like makes everybody excited about the brand. And he's talked about doing fun stuff like ambushing different gyms and capturing it on video and being like, our fighters are going to fight your like the guys in this gym and stuff. What does the next year look like for Karate Combat in a best case scenario sort of situation?
Yeah, I mean, best case scenario, everybody recognizes that we're the world's top striking league. And that we're the official sport of Web3. It could go even better than that because we have a couple spinoff IPs that are growing ridiculously fast. We kind of stumbled into both of them by accident, but those are our two headline goals. So, you know, we're having an event basically once a month around the world. We are partnering with a ton of crypto conferences, a bunch of foreign governments that want to bring sports to their area.
No, it's incredibly cool stuff. And on the influencer fight side, what was like, how successful was the BitBoy crypto fight? Because it seems like it was pretty successful, but was that just like an absolute home run from your perspective?
I mean, I think so. I think we, you know, broke crypto Twitter for 12 hours, which is really, really hard to do. You guys have done it for a week and a half, but you can't plan that. You can't even really hope for it because it's so rare. So yeah, hell yeah, we're running that back. We're doing it again at in Austin inside of Consensus 2024 on May 30th.
And BitBoy's fighting?
BitBoy's not fighting this time. The card is fantastic though. BitBoy wants to take an event off. He's definitely getting back in the pit though.
What are the things that actually drive the most audience for you? Because I do see a ton of engagement with Karate Combat.
Yeah.
Like what is it fighter specific, or is it more about the fact that like the way that the game is structured for people to pick on the winners? Like what aspect of this drives the most engagement?
I mean, in terms of views, you know, fighters are super important. Fans follow fighters. So you got fighters fighting from a certain country. You're going to see a lot of them watching the event. And so, you know, at the influencer fights, we had tons of crypto people watching the entire event. In terms of engagement with the app, you know, the marketing we've done to date has mostly been Web3 channels, mostly partnering with other communities, doing, I think, most of the right things there. And in terms of marketing the app and the ability to use the karate token to our traditional Byte fans, we're mostly doing that through the live events. It's really hard to do on our traditional channels like Instagram. If you watch the events, we integrate the game into the entire broadcast. So before every single fight, they're talking about how many tokens were placed on which fighter, how big the prize pool is for that fight, who the fans think are going to win, you know, what has happened with the governance votes on the league. Who's at the top of the leaderboard? We integrate Web3 projects into sponsoring the league, et cetera. So we really hit people over the head with what we're doing in crypto during the live events.
It's really interesting. And over... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how badly are the players injured? Because I see BitBoy tweeting about choosing Rich, which must mean that he took some serious blows to his head.
You know, they're 4 ounce gloves. So this is not like fighting with boxing gloves. And I think that's part of the reason it makes the influencer fight so interesting and unique. Obviously, influencer fighting is a huge space now, but it's really all boxing. Some of them are trying out MMA, allegedly, but that's really difficult. Like, so hard to teach an influencer or founder how to fight, how to practice jiu-jitsu in 3 months. So I think we have this incredible format, but it is a little bit riskier than getting into a boxing ring. You got these smaller gloves. Someone can throw you. Someone can kick you in the head. 2 out of the 5 influencer fights were knockouts. If you'd like to consider it, Nick, we got lots of fighters for you to talk to about, you know, how risky it is.
Dude, I have no desire to get into a fight with on Karate Combat. If I have to defend myself in a public situation, that's a different scenario. Going into a fight like this, I mean, it's
a little crazy.
It's requires a little bit of effort here, and I like my brain, so that's something that can definitively get damaged in the process of these fights.
It can.
Nick is not going to be getting into the pit. I see some comments here. I will not be getting into the pit either, but I'm excited to make content about it. I'm excited, you know. Last thing, you know, only LARPing, you know, you had Charles Oliveira, literal consensus UFC Hall of Famer, enjoying the hell out of BitBoy's, you know, competition. This is a guy that's a 3-time UFC champion who's still at the top of his division right now and has the most submissions in UFC history. It's literally top of the food chain, UFC star, international star, million Instagram subscribers, blah, blah, blah. Like, did he have positive feedback for you guys?
Oh, man, he was loving it. Like, absolutely loving it. He was having a blast. I mean, literally just filming the entire BitBoy fight. I mean, Boss Rutten stopped commentating and started filming. It was the whole place went wild, you know?
I'm picturing myself. Someone said Nick would be running away. And I'm like, that's actually a funny, like, I could see that happening. I'm just like.
The problem is the fans would boo because they're there for just pure violence. So, well, hey, maybe that's a bit. That's a bit right there. Well, look, only LARPing. Anything else people should know? Obviously, they should actually, you know, download the app and they should receive some free karate tokens. So if they go right now, I got the call to action here. Forgive me. Clemente, did you delete it here? No, karate.com/app. Sorry about that. You get 88 free karate tokens. Anything else people should know?
Yeah, so we got a crazy event this weekend. It's our kickback format, which is like a lower production party version of our events. That's down on the beach in Playa del Carmen, Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you want to play Up Only Gaming on that, you have to download the app in the next 7 hours. So go do that. And then right after that, April 20th, we'll be in Dubai, partnering with the government and Token 2049 to bring this massive 5,000-person event to Token 2049. It should be incredible. And then right after that, May 30th, inside of Consensus in Austin. Hope to see a bunch of you at either of these events.
Hell yeah. Well, can't wait to make it to one of these events. Really, really excited about the partnership. For sure, one of the coolest businesses in crypto and a real organization. Thanks so much for joining and just really excited to get this partnership kicked off.
My pleasure, guys.
Catch you next time. See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week, available across platforms, Apple and Spotify podcasts, YouTube and X platform for video. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube to actually watch the show if you're into that sort of thing. Also available on Twitter Spaces, of course. Many of you are listening there right now. We will be back tomorrow to close out the week, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thanks so much for listening.